edition of the Almost Varsity Sports podcast. We'd like to welcome you back and apologize, first off, for missing our up. We're here to bring you the heat this week and get everything back on track. But as always, I'm one of your hosts, Not So Little John, accompanied by my co-host, Angel Steve 89.
Yeah.
Oops.
About last week. Sorry about that. Steve got drunk and did not participate in the podcast.
We're back to make it up for him, though, Steve. We're about to make it up for him. We got some great picks. We were positive last week once again. We're back on the winning ways, and I think this week is only going to be more positive. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, definitely agree with that. And the past like 2 weeks of college football to like get right into it have been pretty amazing. I mean, well, 2 weeks ago we might have had one of the greatest games the past few years, and your boys Clemson and Louisville. I mean, if that's what every college game could be like, I think that's what everybody is looking forward to.
That, that game was unbelievable. I almost forgot that was 2 weeks ago. We were all over that game. That game just screamed that the Tigers were going to come out, make a statement. They're a very good team. Obviously, having the inside track, I kind of had an idea there. But they are for real. That game was absolutely unbelievable. And like you said, I couldn't imagine if all college games were like that. I think everyone would be hooked to college football.
But let's be honest, like, how much did you might have pooped your pants in that second half?
No, I was pooping. I was, pants were full. Pants were not, it's not even a matter of did you poop your pants, it's legitimately how much. It was bad. I was freaking out.
Yeah, I mean, that's the best thing about the game. It showed that, like, Louisville deserves to be here, and that one loss should not affect their playoff potential. I mean, those are two playoff teams going at it, and if you know, and then it kind of leads right into the next week of, you know, maybe the possibility that Louisville got knocked out was because Houston went undefeated, and then what the hell happened on Saturday? They lose to a team that literally only runs the ball. So I think that was a big benefit for Louisville, but Houston loses to Navy.
Does not help. Does not help them at all. I can't believe that. I was in shock. I mean, if you were going to tell me that Navy was going to cover the spread, keep that closer than the game was supposed to be, I'd buy it. If you tell me Navy's going to come out and beat, and don't get me wrong, I understand there was a friggin' tsunami on the East Coast, a hurricane everywhere, whatever it was. And I know it was bad weather in Annapolis, but you're telling me this pretty atrocious Navy team is going to come out and beat a team that's possibly striving for an actual bid at a Final Four.
They were one game away. I mean, the only
one game away.
Houston was they had to play Louisville, and they had to play Louisville tough, and they could have been in there.
Yeah, that was it. If Houston could have pulled out a win against Louisville, no one would have been able to keep them out. If they were able to knock off Navy, knock the rest of that poor conference out, the American Athletic, and then not only that, but then beat Louisville after already beating a very, very good probably 15 by the end of the season, top 15 Oklahoma team, followed by a big win over a great Louisville team, this team would have walked into the playoff. Now we're talking about whether or not they'll even win their division in their conference, not even just their conference. That was a huge game for them. It's a big swing. And time will only tell what's going to happen for the Houston Cougars that we loved and talked up all year long.
Yeah, that was disappointing. I mean, congrats to Navy. That was a great win. And like, now they're ranked. They got to number 25 this year, which I don't think anybody expected. But that was crazy. Another team I want to point out for the past 2 weeks that we got to talk about is the Tennessee Volunteers. 2 weeks ago, they had that ridiculous game versus Georgia where they lose. But wait, they don't. They back-to-back Hail Marys or whatever it was, and they actually win that game. That was bananas.
That game was unbelievable.
And then this week, it literally happens again.
Yep.
They do the same thing. They come from out of nowhere in the fourth quarter and do it again. But unfortunately, the Magic can't stay with them, and Texas A&M at home pulls out the overtime win. But holy cow. Like, going into that overtime, you're thinking Tennessee, the team of destiny here, and they're the one that's going to take Houston's spot in the playoff now.
Yeah. No, believe me, Tennessee, I couldn't have seen this team. First of all, I thought they were going to blow out teams. I thought this team was so talented. I didn't think they were going to have to win games the way they're winning games. But it came to the point where it was one of those teams that just couldn't be denied. They win and they win and they win no matter what happens, no matter what the injuries that happen, no matter how late in the game they need to make a comeback. They were able to do it. Like you said, they seemed to be a team of destiny. And we had mentioned it in our leans, in our Almost Varsity Sports Best Bets Hot Soup Picks 2 weeks ago, and I'd said Texas A&M -6.5. And that was – pulling that one out was very lucky because that Tennessee team is scrappy, and I'm still very impressed. And to be honest, if they could still come out and knock out Alabama and be right back in the driver's seat to play in an SEC championship game and have a rematch with Bama or somebody else from the other side of the SEC.
So what we got to do is look out for those Tennessee second half lines. I mean, this team is – their fourth quarter numbers are off the charts. You know, they're blowing teams out by, you know – 14-17 points in the fourth quarter, so you can jump on those second half lines and
I didn't even think about that. That's
ridiculous. Get some good value there.
That's a great point. I didn't even think about the team betting wise, but you're right. That team comes out sleepwalking, it seems like, and all of a sudden turns it on in the second half, and they end up making a run every single time, it seems like.
I mean, they're 5-1. I think there's been four times they've been down double digits at half. And they've won three of those games.
That's ridiculous. If that's actually the stat, that's absolutely absurd. To be down.
I do my research. Cut it out.
Yeah. To constantly put your team in a spot where you're going to have to climb out of your own grave, basically, that you dug for yourself, to constantly be in the conversation to win the game. Florida, I think, was one of them, right? Florida was
Florida down like 20 and a half.
Yeah, Florida. Were they down at App State in the first game?
No, they were tied.
Okay.
But still, they should have been up 20 there.
Absolutely. And then the Georgia game, they squeak out a win by 3 points. Like, this team's still good. Don't be surprised if we see an upset this weekend. But we'll get there.
So that's a quick abbreviated recap of the past 2 weeks in college football since we missed last week. But we're gonna transition to a couple of other sports here. John and I both just got back from hockey. Oh, yeah. It is October 13th, and it is hockey time. So it's time for that. Bring out the puck sluts here. The Rangers, Islanders, game one. Hell of a game we both just witnessed there. And as Ranger fans, I'm pumped hockey's back. We saw some great stuff yesterday, opening up the hockey preseason, kind of regular season. Saw a 19-year-old Austin Matthews score four goals out of nowhere.
And still lose.
And still, even better, we were talking about that all the time. And they still lost. That's how bad the Maple Leafs are. But we'll talk more in NHL as it goes on, but the future in NHL looks great. And just really young kids coming into that. Like we said, Matthews, Connor McDavid put on a show again. He might be one of the best players already at the age of 20. So look out for the NHL. NHL. I really hope that if you're not a hockey fan that you start paying attention. This is one of the greatest sports to watch.
Let me tell you, Steve, I was talking with my dad tonight, actually, and we had just mentioned all of the young talent across the NHL and how this is the time to get into hockey. There are stars right now across the NHL.
No, teenage stars. This isn't like – you know, like the Ovechkin Crosby's, you know, prime of their career, like kind of almost is in like, you know, the NBA area of like LeBron and KD.
We're talking absolute
stars who are teenagers.
Yep. 19, 20, 21 years old players that are absolute studs. So obviously Austin Matthews goes and scores four goals. Huge deal. Everyone's talking about it. But no one talks about the fact that Connor McDavid is now the captain of the Edmonton Oilers and put up two goals in his first game this year.
Absurd goals, if you saw both of them. They're like, we got a penalty shot, and then he like just absolutely went off on like another breakaway and scored. I mean, he's 20, and he's the youngest captain of all time. I mean, we're talking, you know, people that have like, you know, Gretzky wasn't captain this young. I mean, this is not saying he's going to be up to that caliber, but you got to jump on the NHL now and get to these, you know, kids because they're going to be around for like 16, 20 years.
Absolutely. I think this is the time. And let me tell you, if you're like, obviously you and I have both grown up hockey fans and we're kind of entrenched in the league itself. But to be one of those fringe fans and like have a team but not really like hockey and not really follow your team, whatever your fanhood may be in terms of the NHL, this is the time to actually start paying attention because of the talent. Because like you said Crosby, Ovechkin, they're still in their primes right now. Well, maybe a little bit slowly getting on the back end of their primes. But they're still fucking talented. Like, Ovi put up 50 goals last year.
And, yeah, I mean, Crosby won the cup.
And, yeah, Crosby won a cup. In fact, Phil Kessel won a cup. Like,
oh, we don't want Phil, but no one will.
But let me tell you, like, all these guys are still studs. And then you bring in this young talent and inject this league with guys who can put the puck in the back of the net, and people are going to get hooked. Hockey, like, this is the year that hockey is going to explode. I feel it. There's going to be a lot of buzz because of all this young talent.
And I agree. My key is I live and die by Twitter, and Austin Matthews was the top USA trending tweet for, like, 4 hours. And that, like, in a non-Stanley Cup game, I haven't seen that in hockey in forever.
Steve, I went on Twitter, and I wasn't even paying attention last night to hockey because obviously the Rangers started tonight. Went on Twitter, and there were people that, like, every person that I followed was making some sort of oh my god comments or I can't believe this or oh my god, that's a hat trick. And then all of a sudden, it was just every single goal you were like, wow, all right, more Austin Matthews tubes, more Austin Matthews. And it just kept going on and on. It was ridiculous.
It was awesome. And, yeah, so make sure you check out the site because this week I posted two NHL articles, so hopefully you're into the puck and you can see what's going on with our favorite team for the Rangers. And then there might still be some available lines for some value picks for the NHL. So we'll talk more hockey as the year goes on, but there's some other sports still to take care of, like, as we speak right now, we got the Game 5 Dodgers Nationals, you know, 4-3 game in the 8th that I'm watching. So baseball's still live and well. So as hockey's gearing up, baseball's it's not gearing down yet. There's plenty going on the diamond.
I'm glad you're watching it because I actually turned it off at 4-1, getting ready to dip out of the bar after I saw that end of that inning. And by the time I got home, it was 4-3. So now all of a sudden, we got a game again. But just speaking of having a game again, and since we're on the MLB topic, can we talk about those Chicago Cubs who I have jumped all in on that bandwagon?
Oh, man, that was phenomenal. I got nervous for everybody in the entire city of Chicago yesterday. I didn't think they were going to win that game last night. We're going into a game five with Johnny Cueto, who pitched absolutely beautiful in game one. You talked about a little poop in the pants there. I mean, the entire city would have been a little on edge there. But that's what's different about the Chicago Cubs team. They can hit the ball out of the park. They can play some small ball, and they're exciting. And then they have the pitching staff now. That was the biggest obstacle for the Cubs. I think they can beat whoever wins this game here and make it to the World Series because they'll be fresh. But, I mean, the best, all around, baseball, this ALDS has been exciting. What time did the Red Sox play today? I forget.
Today? It was early.
No, the Red Sox got swept. They haven't played in 3 days.
I know.
but it's been good baseball, so it's been fun. And it's only going to get better as the teams dwindle down. So, I mean, baseball, it's 162 games, and people say it's boring. Watch these playoff games.
Let me tell you. Yeah, I was just gonna say you were about to say like people say it's boring, and I do agree. It's a long, drawn out season. I think 162 games is a lot to ask for. However, once the playoffs get pumping, those wild card games were fucking awesome.
Must watch TV.
No, absolutely must watch. And when they first introduced that extra wild card spot, I was very against it. I didn't like it. I didn't like that. Some two teams that played the whole year, their entire season was going to come down to one game. But let me tell you, That was a phenomenal move by the Major League Baseball to get that game in there and really, really put baseball front and center for those games. And we talked about, like, yes, maybe the regular season may be long and boring and how great the playoffs are, but you're telling me, just look at the past 30 games of the regular season. The Red Sox were one of the hottest teams in baseball. We both talked about them being the hottest team in the AL going into the playoffs, and we literally watched them go 1-2-3 right out.
Yeah.
And they didn't, it's not even like they had, like, a ray of hope. They didn't look good in any of the games.
No. And then it goes even for the other team in the AL. I mean, let's be honest. If Buck Showalter knew what the fuck he was doing, the Orioles would have won that playoff game versus the Blue Jays. And then I think the Rangers probably could have beat the Orioles. But, you know, you gave that douchebag team in Toronto some hope, and they come to Texas, and they just crushed the Rangers. They were my pick to make it to the World Series. And, you know, unfortunately, Toronto, you know, they're a team that, you know, they love being that bad guy team. They got hot, and Toronto might be the favorite now to win the whole thing.
I'm big fan. I'm hoping for a Blue Jays Cubs World Series. I think that would just be fireworks everywhere.
All you the young, at least three, you know, the benches come out to, you know, just look at each other and maybe push each other once.
Yep, and then turn back around and yeah. Back to the land. Oh, yeah.
But that, no, I agree. That's what you need now if you're an MLB and you want the rankings. You need the Blue Jays, you know, in Toronto. You know, you need that crowd throwing shit on the field because that's what Canada does. And then you need Chicago just, you know, praying on every pitch.
Toronto, who do they think they are? Philly? Sorry, I had to get one Philly fan joke, right?
When you
mentioned throwing shit on the field, you gotta throw on the Philly fan. If you don't, they feel left out.
I mean, it's getting cold out, so I mean, all standings are still hiding from Philly. So.
Yeah, you wait. Now they're coming out in something. Say, all standings, be warned. Be warned.
That's a reference for those uneducated of the Eagles throwing snowballs during the football game at Santa. But it's a solid transition back to football here, and let's get into some segments because we're running late on our time here, and I got shit to do tomorrow.
That's true. This is late. We're doing this for you guys because we screwed up last week.
So, John, why don't you hit us with our highly educated, highly recruited manager?
You flipped it.
Yeah. It's past midnight.
It's late. It's actually Friday already, so we're good. My highly recruited and highly educated stud of the week is my boy, Chad Swag Kelly. I wish I had his song up on YouTube right now so I could just play that in the background while I serenade Chad Kelly. This guy is a fucking nutcase. I don't know if everyone knows the entire backstory of Chad Kelly's career, but he went on to Clemson. He's Jim Kelly's nephew. Got signed to Clemson, and he was supposed to be an absolute stud in college, and he had all the tools to do it. Backing out of a Clemson student parking lot, he drunkenly got into a car, backed into a student's vehicle, and got out and tried to tell the female, the lovely young female, that it was her fault. Her car was parked. That female turned out to be Miss South Carolina, who is currently in school at Clemson. She reported it immediately to the police. Then more things went down. Chad Kelly ran his mouth to the coaching staff during a spring game. They finally kicked him off the team because he's a mess, a nut job. He went to, what's that famous Netflix show? School, Eastern Michigan, Eastern whatever it is.
Somewhere in Mississippi.
Mississippi, yeah. Eastern Mississippi Community College. There you go.
Yeah.
For JUCO, comes back, played a stellar year at Ole Miss. It looks like he cleaned his act up. And then Ole Miss had a bye week. Chad Kelly this past week took a nice little flight back home to Buffalo where his younger brother was playing a high school football game. One of his teammates or one of his little brother's teammates took a late hit out of bounds and a little skirmish set off on the field between high schoolers. As the coaches ran out on the field to break it up, no one else was there except Chad Kelly sprinting from the stands to beat up and push and throw around high schoolers in the middle of the field. So he, wonderful Ole Miss being Ole Miss, and obviously sweeping everything under the rug, issued a statement basically saying that they were handling it in-house, which basically means nothing's going to happen because they have a big game this week. But if it wasn't Ole Miss, this guy would probably be sitting a game or two. And like I said earlier, he's got all the talent in the world. And I don't know about you, Steve, but I can honestly see him just falling and plummeting in NFL drafts because of what a matchup he is.
No, he's got almost that next level Johnny Manziel like scenario down. He's clearly got the talent, but he does not have the mental stability, I think, to be an NFL quarterback.
That is a perfect way. The mental stability is just not there. It's so sad because he, like you said, he is extremely talented, and it's going to hurt a possible NFL career.
If you need to run out on a high school field in like a pushing shoving match and like start like throwing some bows, I mean, good for you, dude.
yeah, right. I feel like you almost have to applaud a little bit. I was actually listening, and if you want to put a crazy spin on this, I was actually listening to an ESPN college football podcast. Not going to promote the evil brand, but I was listening to one of them, and they actually put a crazy spin on it where one of the co-hosts said, I'm a mother of three boys, and I would love to see my oldest son stick up for my younger sons. And it was complete spin zone, and I didn't even know how to take it.
Sure, but I also want my oldest son to make $70 million guaranteed if he doesn't run on the high school field.
Yeah, to do something stupid. Like, I think your son, your younger son, can take a push or shove or a late hit from an opposing team once or twice.
Yeah, so to Chad Kelly, you probably, if we've been running this podcast for a couple years, you would have made several appearances, but welcome to your first official appearance on the highly recruited, highly educated segment of the ABS podcast. And then transition to our favorite school of all time and our favorite segment of all time. Let's go into our, this week only one reason why we hate the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. And for me, it doesn't still, it's not a rule that's still in effect, but when the BCS, the team that was number nine, let's say like a Navy, because they're doing pretty well, and they would say they were undefeated, and they didn't get a bowl game because a one-loss Notre Dame team had it written in a contract with college football that their games are more important than a Navy game. And that's just, and we've shown before that Notre Dame sucks in bowl games. So I don't know why the BCS would agree to this, probably for TV ratings. But the fact that they realize that they suck and they need a rule in there, being like, oh, even though we suck, we still need a bowl game that involves the BCS and TV rankings and everything, is ridiculous and infuriating. It's like, if your team sucks, you don't deserve the game, but they needed it, and that's thank God it's gone, but the fact that the rule had to be written is the reason why I hate Notre Dame.
To go from a rule where you're possibly top eight and automatically getting a BCS big-time game to sitting back this year and me and you after starting the segment, to be honest, Steve, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to say it's definite, but I'm going to say it's a strange coincidence the year we decided to do this. I think we're in their heads.
Oh, as my grandma would say, it's a coinky-dink that this two things happened at the same time.
Yeah, no, it's a little strange that we happened to be to do this, and all of a sudden they start stinking. I think someone's been listening to the Almost Varsity Sports podcast and letting it get in their head. But
I mean, for those who don't know, they lost again, shocker. They're literally fighting for their lives to get a bowl game.
That's what I was gonna say. I honestly think
ridiculous. This is a team that thought they could win the title this year. They're fighting for a bowl game.
Before the season started, if you were to tell me that Oregon, Notre Dame, and there's another big name who stinks that I can't think of it right now.
Oh, I'd say Notre Dame.
All right, yeah, we'll just go Notre Dame again. if you were to tell me beginning of the year that Notre Dame and Oregon were not going to make a bowl game, what odds would you give me? They have to be astronomical.
Yeah, it's a billion to one.
It's absolutely absurd. And if you think about it, like, I'm not saying neither of these guys are going to make a bowl game, because you know if Notre Dame goes 500 or over 500, whatever it is.
They can go 500 and get one.
Yeah, they're getting in, because they're not going to get passed up. They're going to be the team that, because they know they'll sell tickets, they know they'll get ratings, whatever it may be, and I can't disagree with you. But if you're going to tell me that before this season, we'd literally be sitting here saying, well, it's possible. Like, it's unbelievable.
Love it.
It's, I mean, don't get me wrong, I do love it. But I still can't believe that it's actually a thing. Oh, Michigan State. There you go. Michigan State's my other one.
Oh, yeah. They actually won a decent game this year too, and they've sunk since then.
Well, the decent game was Notre Dame.
Oh, shit, you're right. I was naturally televised. That's the only reason I would watch the Michigan State game.
Yeah, Michigan State, right. Notre Dame, and Oregon could legitimately be worried on the fence about making a bowl. It's crazy. It's a crazy, wild year of college football. I love it.
All right, so speaking of college football picks here, let's get into this week's Hot Soup Picks of the Week. All right, John. Coming up, another winning week. Recap. I think we were what, 3-2 or 2-2? But we got the extra units. How did it go last week?
No, we were 3. We were 3-2 in college football. Don't forget our Sunday pick with Georgia.
Ah, yep, you're right.
That got postponed to Georgia. We went 3-2 in college football. And if you scroll down on the bottom of our leans in that article, you also saw we were 2-1 there. So we're back on the winning ways. We got the confidence back. The swag is back in the picks. And I don't want to get too far into the recap because we want to kind of keep this show short. It's getting late. And I'm not going to go too far into recap projections here. So you guys are just going to have to log on to the site and read those. But we'll get you with some picks now.
All right. First up, we have one of our preseason favorites up there. San Diego State at Fresno State. A lot of points on the board here. We got 17. What do you mean?
All right. So as I sat outside of Madison Square Garden tonight waiting for you to show up to join me for a beer, I started typing away for my thought process on this game. I talked myself into a bet the mortgage situation here.
Woo!
And I couldn't be happier. This is matching our Clemson confidence in our mortal lock last week. This is now my favorite pick of this year. Lock it up, throw away the key, and get ready to win some cash. San Diego State's going on the road to Fresno State where they're 17-point favorites. And this is the game I'm going to go a little in-depth because I want everyone to take this. San Diego State Aztecs running back Donnell Pumphrey has 891 yards and 9 touchdowns. Guess how many games they've played, Steve? 5.
That is impressive.
900 yards and 9 touchdowns in 5 games. He's one of the best players in the country no one's talking about. Against an upstart Cal team, Donnell went for 281 and 3 touchdowns. Quarterback Christian Chapman has a 4-1 TD to pick ratio. He has 8 TDs on the year, 2 picks. And he does plenty to facilitate the running game here and keep the D-backs honest and not creeping in that box. We have to expect Donnell's going to run wild on this bad, bad Fresno State team. The best news to come from this pick is not how good the San Diego State offense is, but it's how bad the Fresno State team is. They're 119th in the nation in points per game. But that's not where you start licking your chops. Where you start licking your chops is on the defensive side of the ball. They are 206th in rushing yards given up a game. They're 191st in points per game given up. Against a bad 2-4 UNLV team, the Fresno State Bulldogs gave up over 300 rushing yards on the ground. The play here is not on the entire game because I think San Diego State's going to slow it back a little bit. They're not going to be if they were still undefeated, I'd say they have an outside shot at making one of those New Year's Eve bowls. But they don't. They're just trying to win the Mountain West. So what I'm thinking here is they're going to start rolling it back in the second half. The play is looking at the first half. Donnell Pumphrey's going to get the ball. He's going to get the ball a lot. Think 20 carries in the first half. He's going to run for, bold prediction, over 100 in the first half. The line right now, when I got it, was at 9.5. It's creeped up to 10, and I still love it. My bet the mortgage, mortal lock, I'm making up a 4-unit play. We had maxed the 3, but I'm making up a 4-unit play on San Diego State, first half, minus 10 points. Lock it up, throw away the key, cash that ticket.
That is some spicy teriyaki hot soup play right there.
I love it.
And then just to make sure, this game is actually tonight on Friday, so don't forget and think about it as a Saturday game. It's a Friday game, so get that in there right as you're listening now. So that'll be our top play of the week. Moving on to our other plays here. We got a shocker here. John's going to probably throw some money on Clemson here. So Clemson, NC State, what's your thoughts here?
You would think I would throw some money on Clemson here, but I'm just going to give you a quick recap. This Clemson team is here to play. They have a bye week next week, so they're basically tuning up for their now biggest game of the year after it was Louisville. But they'll be tuning up for FSU. They had a couple guys get injured at the end of the BC game. They're slowly getting healthy, and I think they're going to be playing very, very minimal snaps on the defensive side of the ball. I think what's going to happen is that this Clemson offense is going to do the same thing they did to BC. They're going to score often, they're going to score early, and then they're going to get taken out. The backups on this Clemson team are good. However, the problem is NC State's backups are way better than BC's backups. NC State's offense, also nowhere near as good as it was last year. Jacoby Brissett going to the NFL, obviously playing on the Patriots now. This offense isn't what they were. NC State hasn't come close to playing a team to Clemson's caliber. They beat a Wake Forest team, a Notre Dame team in a sloppy field. They beat Old Dominion and William & Mary. They lost to Eastern Carolina. This team is not what their 4-1 record shows. The Clemson defense is going to clamp down on the offense. I'm saying the under at 60.5 points is what we're going to take in this game. Clemson is going to score. I'm expecting a 38-17 win. Put in the books, under 60.5 points.
Not too bad. We got three more here, so hit us pretty quickly, LJ. We talked about Jack Swag, Kelly's. How's he looking with Ole Miss, Arkansas?
I think Ole Miss is one of the top 10 teams in the nation, and they just unfortunately got a bad draw to start the season. They got Florida State and then Alabama in two of their first three games. Now this offense is clicking. With scoring 43 points against Alabama and losing, they then went on to score 45 against Georgia, 48 against Memphis. Guess what? It's going to be another fireworks show in Arkansas. They're going to put up points. Arkansas's rushing attack is not going to be enough to keep up with this high-octane Ole Miss offense, one of the best offenses in the nation. Ole Miss is going to score. They're going to start running away with this ball. The defense is way underrated. They're going to stop this Arkansas rushing attack. Ole Miss, -7.5. If you can get it at 7, I would rate it a 3. But at 7.5, I'm going to go as a 2. 2-point play here. 2-unit play.
Not too bad. All right, fourth hot soup pick of the week. We got the Florida Gators versus Missouri. I know, that's just really fun to say. What do you got?
I like the Gators here. However, the problem is their quarterback is just coming back. Luke Del Rio is coming off an injury. I think they're going to start off slowly. I think they're playing at home in the swamp. Crowd's going to be loud. The team is not bad. They have a shot to win the SEC East here. And obviously Tennessee is going to have to lose another game. But guess what? Tennessee's playing Alabama this week. Florida has a legitimate shot to win the SEC East and have a chance to win the SEC, which means they could play for a national title. They're going to have to win this game. The defense is going to be ready to go. Missouri's offense is atrocious. Luke Del Rio is coming back, like I said, from an injury. He's going to be slow out of the gate. I think they're not going to be able to put up as much points as you think. They only scored 13 against Vanderbilt last week. The over-under is way too high here. I think it's 49.5. Is that what we see, Steve?
I got 49 earlier, but it might be up to 49.5.
All right, so we'll go 49. Well, I'll go the lower number here just for the good of the team. I'm taking under 49 points because I do not see Missouri scoring enough points to make this even close to going over. I'm expecting 30 total points in this game.
Nice. Last but not least, we got the Wisconsin Badgers versus Ohio State in Ohio State. What are we looking at?
This is another big game for me. I think I love this game. Everyone saw a Michigan team play this Wisconsin team very, very close. Wisconsin lost to Michigan 14-7 last week. Everyone thinks Michigan is this great team. They're number 4 in the country. Jim Harbaugh is the man. Michigan can't be stopped. The defense is unbeatable. What people don't understand is Michigan hasn't played anyone. They're really not as good as people think, which means Wisconsin is not as good as people think. They squeaked out a win against LSU. LSU was in shambles. They've already fired their coach. But this Wisconsin team is not what you think they are. However, Urban Meyer has this Ohio State team clicking on all cylinders. This right now, I think, is the best team in the country, and I really think they just squeak out Alabama. Right now, if I'm starting to play off, it's Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State. Not in that order. But Ohio State, I think, is far beyond better than any other team in the Big Ten. I think they're going to score and score often. I'd also lean the over in this game because everyone's talking about Wisconsin's defense. I lean the over, but the play is on the Ohio State Buckeyes, -10.5. Put in the books.
That looks good. All right, there's our five hot soup picks of the week. And then, quickly push it over onto the NFL here. You know, if you're listening, you probably know exactly what happened the past 2 weeks, so we won't go into much detail here. But let's go to the Homer picks of the week. Why the hot two picks have been good. The Homer picks have been even better this year. We've been on fire with these, so hopefully you guys are on board here. So let's get these two this week. First up, we'll go with the Jets Monday night. In Arizona versus the Cardinals here. We had a line of 7.5 here. It seems like a lot for a Monday night. But I don't know. I've been watching these Jet games. I don't see anything that's going right with this team here. Eric Decker is now officially done for the year. If I'm them, I pull Fitzpatrick and start tanking and get themselves a draft pick here. And the Cardinals struggled. They got off to a slow start with their schedule. That's really easy. And at home in Arizona, I'm taking a 7.5 here. I don't see how this Jets defense can score versus, Patrick Peterson and Honey Badger out there for the Cardinals. I'm taking the 7.5 here. Another big spread with the Jets here, but as I saw last week with the Steelers, they just can't hang with the real teams in the NFL.
I actually love this pick, Steve, and the 7.5 scares me, as I'm sure it gives you some hesitation here, but the Jets have shown no reason to think this team is any good. And I think the Cardinals have been so bad that this is the perfect opponent for them to get their legs back underneath them and get moving in the right direction. We both were high on the Cardinals before the season. I think this is the game that they turn around, the offense starts clicking, and we see a nice 14-20-point win for the Cardinals here.
Yeah, totally agree. Moving on to our disappointing Giants. They came out hot. They won two in a row. Should have won three in a row, but now they've lost three in a row. But the good thing is they won the past two games. They've been very good teams. They could have won both games, but it's stupid mistakes, typical Giants mistakes we've seen over the past 5 years. But, that's the past. They're 2-3. This week, they're at home versus the Baltimore Ravens. And for me and you, going down to school in Baltimore, the thing that I hated the most was Ravens fans, I think. And I can't stand the Ravens here. So even if the Giants suck, there's no chance I'm taking the Ravens. But Giants -3, I think that works. They're at home. This is the game where I think Eli takes advantage. ODB versus Jimmy Smith is a mismatch made in hell. ODB got that touchdown out of his system, and I think he has a massive game here, and the Giants win this one by 7.
All right. I don't love that pick. This game I'd probably stay away from. I think the Ravens, after watching the Giants games, it's kind of been brutal. I'm only hoping that this team can do exactly what you're saying and get on the right track here. As a Giants fan, I'll be right there with you. As a gambler, I think I'm staying away.
Yeah, that's fine. But we don't stay away from our home.
That's a fact.
No, but I agree. It's a giant struggle. This game, they're in deep shit.
No, big time.
The NFC East has proven to be better than we expected. We thought that it would be a typical down year for the NFC East. No Romo, Carson Wentz starting up there, and Kirk Cousins doing Kirk Cousins things. But it's as per usual, it's going to be a dogfight, and these are games the Giants must win if they think they can have a shot.
So do you want to throw in some NFL picks that were sticking out to you before we move on to our last segment?
Yeah, I mean, the most obvious one that we already talked about is Andy Reid after a bye week for the Chiefs game. Chiefs are right now plus on the road in Raider Nation, but the fact that Andy Reid is 15-2 after a bye week, I mean, that is – You can't not take that plus one and go along. That's my biggest game for the NFL for me.
It actually swung already, Steve. It's now -1 for the Chefs.
Oh, it should have. It should be -3. I mean, I didn't take him on the road. But we talked, Monday. I locked this in at -1. That's fine. I'm taking the result.
Yeah, I think at -1. Sorry. We're losing you, Steve. Your internet connection is coming in hot as always. Sponsored as always by Comcast Sports.
Sponsored shitty internet of all time called
Time Warner. That's true. Not even Comcast. Shitty Time Warner. Time Warner, if you're listening to this.
Do you have balls? If your internet might struggle if you have balls.
What? Yeah,
I was literally told that once.
If someone at Time Warner is listening, hook our boys up and give us some internet connection here. I don't even know if Steve can hear me, but I'm going to keep going with the my final picks quickly. I absolutely love the Bills are favored by 7.5 over the 49ers. That line has ballooned up to 9 points. I think the Bills are not good enough to give anybody 9 points. I'm taking the San Francisco 49ers +9 over the Bills. That's a big game that I love. I absolutely love the Detroit Lions at home against the Los Angeles Rams. I think the Rams are extremely overrated at this point. This offense is not very good. They can't score, keep up with anyone. The Detroit offense is going to spread them out. They're going to score points. I don't think the Rams are going to be able to keep up. Neither is Jared Goff. I like those two. We mentioned the Chiefs. My favorite NFL line of the week, and Steve, correct me if you think I'm wrong, but I think this is an absolute mortal lock. Seattle Seahawks -6 against the Atlanta Falcons. I love the Seahawks here. I think everyone's seen the Falcons play out of their minds the last 2 weeks. It's sitting on the forefront of everybody's view of the Falcons. But everyone forgets the Falcons won like 4 or 5 games last year, whatever it was. This team is not anywhere close to where Seattle is. Russell Wilson's healing up a little bit. They're coming off a bye. They're at home. The crowd's going to be rowdy. I like the Seahawks -6.
Yeah, that one, I definitely looked at that one. You know, the Falcons have become hard to ignore at 4-1 in the, every year in the NFC South. Like, you know, you go bottom to the top, and the Falcons are looking like this. But that would be a real tough win. The other one I kind of looked at is just because it's gonna have the national stories. Is gonna be the Patriots and the Bengals. I think it's 8.5.
The Bengals. You're gonna say you like the Bengals.
Bengals going in 2-3. Was that?
I hope you're going to say you like the Bengals.
I do. I mean, this Bengals team is better than 2-3.
I agree.
They have to be.
Dude, this line is everybody loving the Patriots, and I understand they came out and showed up last week. But do people forget it was the Browns that they showed up against?
You know, I'm looking for. I found it earlier in the week. Like, Tom Brady is like 42-2 versus like at home versus non-division opponents in the AFC is like his entire career. So I think the Patriots will win this game.
But no, I'm not saying they won't.
9 points to the Bengals, who, you know, if they had a coach and a quarterback that could win a playoff game, like, it's a Super Bowl team the past few years, but they just don't know how to play in the playoffs. And, you know, they probably will go to 2-4, but it's a team that can't afford to go in 2-4. So this game has to be close. And given, you know, 9 points, yeah, I like that.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think if you're going to give a team with all the talent that the Bengals have, you're going to give them 9 points. I honestly don't see any team in the NFL that I'd take with 9 points over the Bengals. So I agree with you there. I'm on the same page.
All right, so there's our NFL recap. We got anything else this week? Just flipping back to baseball here, there's one out in the bottom of the ninth, and Bryce Harper's up. And to be honest, I hope this fucker just goes yard. But more importantly, they have Clayton Kershaw warming up in the bullpen. So this game could get super interesting if it goes extra.
Kershaw's warming up right now? That's sick.
Yeah, because Dodgers actually played this smart, and they've had their closer in since the seventh inning, because they know this game actually means something. Down in Baltimore.
Yep. I pulled up the score as we were talking here. I pulled up the scoreboard on ESPN, and I saw that their closer pitched 2 1/3 already, and I was like, wait, that doesn't make sense. And yeah, now I get it.
All right, so we'll sign off this week and let us finish watching the end of this game. Hope everything for listening. Sorry we missed last week. We're going to make a point that we don't miss any more weeks here. I'm not going to guarantee that too because I also like drinking, so
yeah,
we'll see what happens.
That was silly. Don't guarantee that. Don't guarantee that.
I usually caveated that if we enjoy drinking, we'll probably skip these, but I mean, we're into the wee hours of Thursday night.
Friday morning.
Friday morning. All right, boys. Have a good week. Oh, and gals, of course, there's two guys out there that listen to us. We'll see you in the weekend. Get those chicks in, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.